Sounds rolling. All three cameras, we're good.
Is there any regrets that you have in life? I should sit here and say, I got a lot of regrets. But when I look back on my life and I understand the lives that were lost, I mean, I'm sitting here with you. And I can tell my story.
Former National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, pleaded guilty today for lying to the FBI.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible person for Donald Trump to hire.
Only brilliant military career serving 33 years.
Why was he being so elusive?
Mike Flynn told the truth and faced life in prison.
Deliver the truth, no matter what the cost. Andrew, we have a heck of a show today. Are you excited?
Oh, I'm so excited. This is going to be a good one.
We got an alpha of alphas today. I'm so excited to bring you guys this story. In 2016, he was one of the top most Googled names on the planet. Fascinating story. Fascinating family. If you ever get to meet this family, every single one of them is just a phenomenal person, phenomenal backgrounds, total alpha family in and of themselves. They even have their own tagline as a family called Fight Like a Flynn. We have today joining us a retired U.S. general, lieutenant general, the 24th U.S. National Security Advisor. Please welcome to the show, General Michael Flynn. Hey, welcome, General.
Yes.
Hey, guys. Hi, Colton, Andrew. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate you guys, what you're doing, your show, what you've started. And I think that it's so important right now for who you're reaching out to. I think you guys reaching out to people that are in your sort of demographic and age category. I mean, I know that there's a hunger out there for honesty, for authenticity, for the truth. And you know, that movie, that little trailer or teaser that you just saw, you know, Flynn deliver the truth, whatever the cost. I think that's what people are looking for. Everybody of all ages at this point in time, there's so much noise in sort of in the atmosphere or on the Ethernet, so to speak. And boy, the timing for this movie could not be better. And I gave it a lot of thought. I mean, obviously the movie's kind of a lifetime in the making because it does tell a lot about my upbringing and my time in the military. But it spends about half the time also looking at the persecution and what I would call the resurrection and redemption and survival. Yep. And it really is a story of survival. Really, really is. It's a very powerful, raw story. And the key characters that, for those that recognize their voices in the teaser, key characters in it are of course, members of my family. But Tucker Carlson plays a prominent role. Everybody knows Tucker Carlson and Devin Nunez. Devin Nunez, the current CEO for Truth Social, as well as a great friend of mine and former chairman of the Permanent House Select Committee on Intelligence, the HPSI in the House of Representatives. So he and I have been together and known each other for, God, I guess, 20, 25 years. Wow. Tucker and I, not as long, but Tucker and I came together on really a common theme. And that common theme is really the direction that the country's heading right now. Mm. And where Tucker kind of looked at things and he saw, you know, he didn't really know me that well. He knew of me and we had spoken and met. But when he saw what was happening to me, he was like, oh, my God, if they're going to do this to a 3-star general who had an amazing career, served the country, you know, and now that was back then. That was back, God, what, 6 years ago now. And now look at what they're doing to President Trump. Right. Yeah. So everything that's going on, everything that happened to me, I mean, I lost my home. I lost my home because of it. These people don't care about that. And now Trump at a much bigger way, he's looking at losing property. He's looking at losing maybe homes right there. Last night on one of the crooked news networks that exist, they're joking about how, you know, he could lose Mar-a-Lago, that Mar-a-Lago could be taken. I mean, these people are sick.
And they're joking about it. They're joking about it. They're saying it in a mockery sense, and it's brutal. In 2016, you're one of the most searched people, and search is such a funny thing right now with big tech the way that it is. I was talking to a friend recently, and we were talking about Kyle Rittenhouse. His name came up, and he and I had totally different views on what actually happened there. And I was like, do you remember anything what happened? Like he was like, yeah, he shot up a bunch of black people and all this stuff happened. I'm like, that's not even close to the story. Like that's that never happened. But his right. version of what was true had shifted so heavily based on what he was searching for, based on what the news that was coming into his life. And I think if people searched your name in 2016, they're going to come up with wildly different views of you. And I think coming out, you know, they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. I don't know how many pictures are within a documentary, but millions and millions and millions. So there's a million words there that's coming out in this movie. But you know, you talk about truth, tell the truth no matter what. What is the truth about General Michael Flynn? If there's this story over here and there's this story over here, and no matter what you search, you're going to come up with different answers. What is the truth about General Michael Flynn?
Yeah, I mean, and I would tell you that even today, if you search my name today, you know, you come up with Wikipedia or something like that. I mean, it'll take you probably 10, maybe 15 pages deep to try to actually find something, some modicum of truth.
Wow.
Because the internet, you know, the big IRL owners, the ones that own the various website parts of the internet, they control what is prioritized. They control the information that is prioritized. So we have to continue to fight to post things on social media platforms that allow a whole wide range of voices. We have to really dig and do the research. If you only went by what the first, you know, page that the first couple of things of what it said about Mike Flynn, I mean, in 2016 and 2017, you'd think that I was like, you know, an enemy of, I was public enemy number one of the state. Yeah. I had committed treason. I was involved in spying operations with a woman from Russia. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Just
all
crazy
over the place.
Stuff. And it was all there have been that, just so people in your audience know too, there's probably at least 10 books that I'm aware of that were written at that time that are all filled with false information. All of them. But people wrote books like they do sometimes, and they come out with these books and like right away to try to make a buck and to try to tell some sick version of a lie, really distorted version of a lie. And they make a lot of money from those books. People buy them up and they think, oh, this must be the truth because it's in a book. Honestly, I know of about 10 books that are just filled with distortions. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's why I waited until now to do this film, and I will follow the film up. Usually it goes the other way around, but I'm not, in about another 60 or 90 days or so, I'm going to have a book come out, and the book is going to be, a lot different than the film itself. The film will, you know, it's a couple hours long. It's a great, great film. I mean, it's really powerful. You know, the people can go to flynnmovie.com/dad.
Yep.
I think DAD, right? Makes it easy.
Can't mess it up.
Flynnmovie.com/dad. And what they can do, and I'll talk about the film here in a second, but what they can do is they can sign up and they can order the DVDs. The DVDs are there's different places you can order them from, Amazon, Walmart, or Target. In the next couple of weeks, we are going to have live streaming ability to be able to purchase live streaming. We also have the tour. So on that website that you're looking at, there is a tour button, and you can see. Yeah, there you go. You can see where we're going to be around the country. It's, I think right now we're upwards of about 33 cities in about 55 days.
You guys are taking the show on the road. It is going everywhere.
We are. We're going to start here in Venice, Florida, and we're going to go all around the country. It's going to be an exhausting but really exciting and fun trip. I'm looking forward to. Getting my message out and meeting people. I want to meet a lot more people. You know, you guys know we've met tons of people, thousands from the Reawaken America tour.
Yep.
So in a way, this is kind of a mini version of one of those, and it's condensed. We will be, we'll be popping in and out of those cities, showing the film. I will actually be at every single one of those venues, and it'll be an in-person live experience. And I'm going to do kind of a Q&A at the end of each showing to, you know, answer any questions. And then a book, which will eventually be on this site, as well as some other merchandise, but other books that people will be able to find. So anything right now, you know, for you guys, you know, it's flynnmovie.com/dad, D-A-D. And it helps you guys out in your show, because this is how we help each other out. I mean, amen. I could have gotten out of the military, because you asked me about talking a little bit about myself. I could have gotten out of the military as a general. I had been in charge of one of the biggest intel agencies in the world. I had risen to the top military intelligence officer in the Department of Defense at the time. And I could have gotten out and gone into the corporate world and done what a lot of generals and admirals do, get defense industry jobs and shut my mouth and sort of bought, you know, drank the Kool-Aid, bought into the wokeness that was inside of not only the Department of Defense at that time, but as I saw it growing in the country, particularly at the latter end of the Obama administration. And I just made the decision. I did some things. I dabbled in some things, but I'm sort of built on service. My life is about service. I was born on a military base. Mm. My father was a sergeant in the Army. My family goes back to World War One. Both my grandfathers served in World War One. I had one of my grandfathers served in both World War One and World War Two. My father was in World War Two.
Wow.
My father served in Korea. I have a brother that served during the Vietnam era. I have, you know, uncles and cousins and brothers-in-law who served in the Marine Corps, the Navy.
Wow.
Great, great service family-oriented family. I have a brother who still serves in the Army today, as well as a couple of nephews. So, I mean, that's my life. So
your brother didn't just serve. Your brother's in charge of like the entire Southern Pacific Fleet. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's in the Army. Yeah, not in charge of a fleet, but he's in the Army. He's in charge of all Army forces in the Indian Pacific Basin. It's about 150,000 people he's in charge of. Yeah, Charlie, wow. My brother Charlie, he's a great American. And, you know, and so all that, you know, and then so what I decided to do is I was going to continue to serve our country. And in the movie, I talk about a lot of this. The movie, I really get into the details of this issue that we're talking about. But, you know, for you guys and in general today, I was asked to support different candidates. And of course, the one that was really the most attractive was Donald Trump. And he was the one that I knew right away, was going to be the next president of the United States. I mean, you could just tell.
Yeah, you could see it in his eyes.
I worked hard to help him win. And then, you know, he wins, you know, and Katie barred the door. So I think for your audience, I want people to really recognize that, you know, and I use this phrase, and maybe you guys have heard me say this, you know, particularly for any of the younger crowd that you know, is following you guys and listening to you guys and likes what you're talking about. I use this phrase because my father taught it to me when I was younger than you guys, actually. And he said, the older I get, the smarter my father becomes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a radical as a kid. I mean, I was one of these kids that, like, I was a surfer. So big, you know, and I was from up in New England, which is really, people think, oh, you know, New England, what surf is up there? Do you think of surf in Hawaii or Australia or maybe Florida, right. Certainly California. You don't think about Rhode Island, which is where I'm from, the state of Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. Rhode Island has 400 miles of coastline. And whenever we get big nor'easters in the wintertime, we get big waves. And when I say nor'easters in the wintertime, we're talking about 45 degree temperature water, and in some cases colder, freezing, you know, below at zero or like freezing cold temperatures. But we'd be out there surfing in like 8, 10, 12 foot waves.
Wow. You know, and that's surfing for men right there. That's man surfing.
That's big time. Talk about, you know, talk about whatever, alpha, right? Alpha, God.
And alpha surfing.
I mean, and other things. I was always a daredevil. I was a skateboarder. I mean, you know, people, you know, kids, you know, around here, they talk about skateboarding. And hey, I was the East Coast skateboarding champion as a teenager. And I'm talking about at a time when they didn't have polyurethane wheels. I was actually on a steel skateboard, a little bit longer than shorter than what we have now, purposely built by a friend of mine who was a great surfer. And we stuck some really these really cool steel wheels on it at the time that were a little bit wider than the normal steel wheels at that time. And we did a big old skateboard tournament over at the University of Rhode Island, which is I eventually went to. I mean, I'm talking like I was probably like, if I remember right, I think I was like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
I won that.
Before it was
I won
cool.
That skateboard. I mean, I could do flips. I could do I could do tricks. I could do jumps.
I love it.
You know, and this is like back in like the early 70s. Okay.
Wow. Mm. Before Tony
back
Hawk.
In the early 70s. So when we see all these kids at skateboard in the pools and all this stuff,
yeah.
We were doing that, you know, and surfing and my other exploits. And I talk a little bit about this in some of the movie. But my other exploits were I used to like jumping, like high diving, right?
Mm.
But not off of like a 10-meter diving board into a pool. I used to jump off of bridges and cliffs. We had some cliffs. I mentioned that Rhode Island coastline is 400 miles of rocky area, and a lot of areas are cliffs. And we had this one place called 12 O'Clock High. Some people call it Castle Hill, but 12 O'Clock High was like. You jump into this like little tiny spot, you know, and you had to wait for the waves to come in.
To celebrate the new year, we're having the biggest sale ever on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, save 60% on our Goose Down Comforters, the best comforters ever. They go perfectly with our MyPillow bed sheets and duvet covers. Save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels. They're made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Our initial quantities are extremely low, so get them now before they go. Our seasonal flannel sheets are finally in. You save up to 50%, and they sell out fast every year, so order now. They're truly the best flannel sheets you'll ever sleep on. Or save up to 80% on all our clearance items. And this is where it gets even better. For a limited time, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
And that, but I will tell you, and I do describe this in the movie, that experience of me doing some of that crazy stuff, surfing in the wintertime and swimming, water was a big part of my life. The diving off of cliffs, the diving off of bridges. And I'm talking about bridges that were like stories high, right? Like a couple of stories high, like in one case, six
wow.
stories high.
Wow.
So, you know, that enabled me to make a decision when I was in the military about something really, really, life-saving. And I tell that story in the movie, and I'll leave that teaser right there. But I want people to know that, you know, especially your audience and young people, you know, I'm at the age of 65. It's like, holy crap, man. How old is that? Right. Mm-hmm. I used to look at people that were like 40 and I'd think, God, they're old dudes, you know, but
I remember playing basketball in high school and seeing guys come back. They're like 25. They come back and play basketball with us. And they're 25 years old. I'm like, I can't believe these guys can still play basketball. This is amazing. You know,
exactly.
In high school.
You have to remember that we were all kids once, you know, and we had our different ways that we got involved and did things. And I, you know, but now I get involved in the political life of our country and I go through one of the worst persecutions that anybody has ever experienced in the history of the United States of America.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of the things for you know, anybody that listens to you who's had in their family or themselves been persecuted by the law or been treated unfairly by the law, you know, which I'm a big fan of police. I'm a big fan of the rule of law, but I am not a fan of the current culture of the Department of Justice or the FBI as an example, as two organizations. I'm not a fan of their culture. Their culture must change. But, you know, this idea that all of us go through some type of bad situation, right? All of us. And maybe some of your audience, you know, nothing's happened to them yet, but something's happened to somebody in their family where they've had a tough, you know, they've had some tough breakup, you know, or some bad break. And the way that I look at people, because I was given a lot of breaks as a kid, And I was given a lot of breaks in the military. You know, I think that I was blessed. I loved serving in the military. But it's not that bad things happen to you. Okay. And this is my sort of, the older I get, the smarter my father becomes, right? It's not that bad things happen to you. It's what you do about it is how you will be judged. Okay.
That's great.
And how you should judge yourself. So if something bad happens in your life, and if you sit there and you go, oh, woe is me, you know, everybody's against me, and you whine and you go and sulk somewhere, you know, get over it and figure out how do you solve it? How do you make it better?
That's so good.
How do you maintain your integrity and your dignity as a human being to continue to grow and learn from it? And I think if that's, you know, my big lesson for your audience today is that, you know, I'm the same guy, okay, that I was when I was 13 years old, or when I was 7 years old, or when I was 18 years old. I'm the same guy. I haven't changed. I have great, great friends in a small hometown that I grew up in that we crack up all the time when we tell our stories about when we were kids, and nothing much changed. You know, we all have families and married, or some of my buddies are divorced. Some of my buddies are dead, sadly. But we had a very tight knit group from time I was a kid, from the time I played farm league and little league baseball, same group of guys, same clique of guys, primarily young guys at that time. And we've stuck together, and we stuck together because we were strong. We were strong friends. Those bonds of friendship never wavered, even with all the crazy stuff I went through.
That's amazing.
We always played. We always got involved in sports and stuff like that. I was on a lot of championship teams. You know, the athletic side of my life was a big part of who I was as a person and as a young person. And so I never changed. What changes are the environmental factors that you put yourself into, right?
Yep.
And I think that when we make decisions, like I made a decision to get involved in politics, I never thought that I'd find myself at the fulcrum of history, you know, when all this thing came crashing down, this, you know, the institutions of government came crashing down on my head.
To serve in politics, but then have politics served against you. You know, you went to serve in politics, and then politics was used against you on that.
Exactly. Like, that's a picture. There's a picture of me. Now, people would never believe this if they meet me. I was number 63 as a captain of our high school football team, Middletown High School. I was actually the linebacker.
Did they make you cut the hair when you got into the military?
Oh, my hair was like, nah, man, I had a lot longer hair than that. In the summertimes, I'd let the hair go. I had hair way past my shoulder blades.
Wow.
You know?
Well, I
joined the military, and there's another picture of me. I think I was probably a 3-star in that picture, and that's at some presentation I gave. So, you know, I mean, like I said, not much has changed, right? Yeah. I mean, I cut my hair.
Yeah.
No, like, and what you're saying is exactly true. And I think a lot of times men today, they're absolutely avoiding personal responsibility. They want to dodge it. They don't want to take care of it. Dads, you know, don't want to take personal responsibility. Everyone is avoiding that personal responsibility. But I think that you, above anybody, have absolutely taken personal responsibility to the next level. Whether it was in the military and the decisions that you had to make, you know, whether it was the things that you said, the commands that you gave, the actions that you took absolute responsibility for those, or as national security advisor. And you took responsibility for it and made great decisions. And I think you, above anybody else, like what you were saying, like, you've been attacked so much. I think you, above anybody else, have the ability to play the victim card if you wanted to, because you've been attacked that much, but you absolutely do not. You do not. And you set a great standard for men. And so, why do you think it's so important for people to take, and men especially, to take personal responsibility for their actions, the words they say, the things that they do? And if they don't take that responsibility, what's the ramifications of not taking that?
Yeah. It's huge consequences for your mental health, state of mind, by not taking responsibility. I mean, it is so refreshing of a feeling when you are responsible for something and then you take responsibility. And frankly, you know, in America, we applaud people who take responsibility, who will stand up and say, you know, and speak out and say, you know what, I made that decision. I will take responsibility for that. And people will be, okay, great.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to love it in the military when I served in the military, especially in the military, but even as a kid too, you know, you try to avoid it, right? But no, you can't avoid it because you know, it's you. And it actually, and you know, like, and I'll maybe chat a little bit about where, why I think it's important as Americans that we do this. But I think when you take responsibility, you are standing up for who you are. You are now defining yourself, and you're not allowing anyone else to define you. The world wants to label you, right? The media wants to label you. Other people want to label you. I mean, you know, my mom used to tell us that the worst time of life was to be a teenager, right? The peer pressure of being a teenager. You guys are not that far from being those, from being teenagers. And, you know, and I'm serious. And teen, that the peer pressure at that level is so extraordinary because you're going through all kinds of emotional, mental, and physical changes in your life. And then the peer pressure kicks in, and man, you know, you want to be part of, you want to be part of the in crowd. You want to be, you know, with the, you know, you want to be with this group or that group, and the peer pressure kicks in. And it's those people that can clearly define themselves, that really have that self assurance and self confidence. And I've seen a lot of young people, like I see it in you guys all the time. That's why I love not only being on this show today, but also just love hanging around and BSing with you. But
appreciate
what
that.
You find is that those young people that don't allow others to define them. You know, you get up in the morning, wherever you're at, you go look at yourself in the mirror, and you know, you got all whatever, you don't have your hair combed, you didn't brush your teeth yet. And then you walk out, you know, into the real world, and you start to let other people define you. No, don't do that. Do not do that. Maintain a self, an awareness of yourself, but not being ego driven. Don't be ego driven. Don't let your ego get in the way. Maintain a sense of dignity, maintain a sense of humility. But it doesn't mean that you don't give up confidence and a sense of self, you know, being self-assured, being self-confident, right? Being able to do the things that you want to do, and recognize that maybe you're not the sharpest pencil in the draw, so to speak. Or, well, then if you're not and you something interests you, go learn it. If you don't have the musical talents, or if you don't have the artistic talents, if you don't have whatever, and you look at other people and you go, man, that guy's really smart, or that kid's really does this or that, you know, so what? Let them be what they are. That, you know, I will tell you that as a kid, I mean, I couldn't sit down and read two sentences without moving around. I mean, if we had, you know, sadly, we stuff Adderall down the throats of young kids. We didn't have it back then. You know, and my mother would have never given it to us. But we had it back then. Some doctor would have said, this kid needs Adderall, right? This is my mom right there. She's, you know, may she rest in peace. That's my other brother who's continuing to serve. That was at his promotion to brigadier general. I was a major general at the time. So there's a mother with two sons who are both general officers. And we both graduated from a state university ROTC program, not from, you know, the grandiose West Point, right?
You know,
Charlie now is a 4-star, and I retired as a 3-star. That's a pretty damn good.
It's a great,
pretty
great
damn
lineup
good
there.
Level to get to.
Avery, keep that picture up there for a second. Keep that picture up there for a second, General. They say a famous phrase. They say that good times create weak men. Weak men create bad times. Bad times create strong men. And I think we're in a season right now where we've raised a lot of weak men in our generation, and we're in a world that's pushed us to be betas. And we're trying, the point of the show is we're trying to inspire a generation of alphas here, so that we can create good times again. And, you know, we're in hard times. I think we're, you know, the economy's at a bad spot. Like everything's it seems at a bad spot here. We're trying to raise strong men. I've met your brother, Joe. You know, I've met your sister, Mary. I've met a whole bunch of Flynns now. Every one of them just seems to be top tier. What advice, if you could almost like reach through and just like pull some advice from a generation that's passed, from this generation of the people that raised you, you know, your mom's in that picture there.
Yeah.
Like, sweet lady. What advice would you give them? You know, Andrew and I both have young sons. They're only 2 days apart. Actually, Andrew and I have sons that are only 2 days apart, 2 years old, and we're raising some young men. What advice, if you could pull something from that generation where things were good and they raised strong men and they had strong men, you know, men that served our country, men that were, you know, carried themselves proudly because they did great things. What advice would you give us to raise some young men?
When I started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Well, since then, with the help of my dedicated employees, we now have hundreds of products, some you might not even know about. To get the word out, we're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. And for the first time ever, our six-pack towel sets, you guessed it, just $25. Our brand new 4-pack dish towels, $25. And I've never done this before. Premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size for only $25. And there's so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code for our $25 extravaganza. Order $75 and over, your entire order ships absolutely free. Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my new product from MyPillow, towels that actually work. Watch this absorbency test. Here's another towel that we randomly went out and bought. Here's one of my towels with a nice design. I don't know if you can see this, but you could line a swimming pool with this. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it. Towels that actually work. What a concept. I'm interrupting this commercial to let you know you can get our six-piece My Towels, regular $69.98, now only $29.98. Or you can save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Also, we have bath sheets, bath towels, washcloths, hand towels, and so much more. And the best part, with your promo code, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all My Towels. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
Yeah, and so it's to you, and, you know, I think you're growing audience. I mean, you know, guys like you, and there's a lot of guys like you or at your age category out there, right? And, you know, let's just say between, I don't know, let's say 16 years old up to about 30 or so, right? I mean, maybe, you know, a little bit higher than that, but no young man wants to be told, you know, he's this or that. I mean, you know, when you go, hey, we need more alpha males, we have too many weak sisters out there, right? I mean, weak men. No man is going to stand there. No young male adult is going to sit there or stand here and go, they're not talking about me because I'm.
Yeah.
But it's and you know, most of them are going to just kind of say, nah, that's not me. I'm a tough guy. It's how you use your strength, okay? And I'm not talking about how much you can bench at the gym. I'm talking about strength and fortitude, this internal, you know, strength that we all have if we use it, and it's courage as well. And I always say, you know, because we hear the phrase courage is contagious. Yeah. Courage is actually a decision. So there's an internal, intellectual, mental, emotional strength that we all have. And that's what I think young people, particularly young men, need to find in themselves, is that don't worry, back to what I said earlier, don't worry about what others think of you. What do you think of yourself, right? Love thyself, right? Love thyself. And I think that, like, I always tell people that I didn't go overseas. I went overseas, you know, much younger than what you guys are now, into my first combat environment. Mm. And I didn't go there. And what I learned from that is I wasn't going there because I hated some enemy. And that time, in that case, it was against it was against the Cubans.
Wow.
Central America, or I'm sorry, in the Caribbean. And, you know, it wasn't because I hated them. It was because I loved my family. I loved my country. Mm-hmm. I loved, right? And I think that we've got to find that love for ourselves and then for others. Mm. And then use that strength, use that emotional, mental fiber, you know, use that kind of strength to portray who we are. But also never forget the and Americans love this. I know this. I know it because people, because I love it. I love it in other people. When I see somebody who has an inner strength about them and a self-confidence about them, and it comes out in the way that they speak and the way that they act. But one of the other character traits that I think is really appealing, and I think it's necessary in the great leaders of our time, and not only in the history of America, but in the history of the world, is that idea of humility, that trait of humility. Because it's not like, this is not about me.
Right.
This is about us. This is about, for the great teams, the great leaders of great teams, it was always about the team and always about what the team could accomplish and not about what one person could accomplish. Mm. So I think if we have that attitude, if you have that attitude, if your audience that is paying attention, you know, it's not about this, myself and my brother there, my brother Charlie, were in Afghanistan at the time. You know, that's the idea that we must take forward as men, as young men, as any men around today. And we've got to understand that we cannot have a society, a functioning, thriving society, without young men participating in the application of every kind of institution that we have. And the first institution is the institution of the family.
Yeah.
And recognizing that families do matter, because, you know, at the end of the day, even if you only have, a parent or an uncle or an aunt or somebody, when the stuff hits the fan, when the proverbial stuff hits the fan, you know, and you turn around, you know, you're not going to find, you know, your friends don't come running to you all that much. Believe me. I talked about my friends because I had good friends from when I was a young kid. But I had my family, and I particularly had my inner circle family, my wife and my, you know, you guys know my son, Michael. You haven't met my son, Matt yet. I don't think, you know, and my son, Matt, is serving in the military today. So people don't know that.
Wow.
So it's a matter of, that's my brother Charlie and I at an event at Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
I love
it. So I think that's really, strength is not just about how much you can bench press, you know, young guys. It's about strength and fortitude of your convictions and what you want to do in your life. You know, have a great time, experiment, explore. Treat others, though, like you like to be treated, right? That's the golden rule.
Amen.
Don't do something that's going to intentionally hurt somebody else. I mean, there are times when you say something stupid, you do something stupid, and you don't intentionally mean to hurt somebody, but you probably did.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? If it's necessary to apologize, apologize to them. Say you're sorry. Say, yeah, I was
dumb. Humility, yeah.
Well,
yeah. And that's the, because being humble also is a strength.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to harp on humility, but there are strengths that come from different character traits that we like and we look for in people. And,
it's good.
And those to me, the one thing, and I'll shut up on this. I've studied the great leaders in history of the world and what made them great, right? Why were they able to achieve the kinds of monumental things that they achieved? You know, and they weren't always, you know, all that benevolent. I mean, you know, they were harsh leaders, but they led entire empires at times. And then, of course, over the course of history of the United States of America, and then you can look at, you know, corporate history of the great leaders in business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you find these types of traits that are in them, and I've just, you know, highlighted a bunch of those.
Yeah.
Of those that run the gamut of those people that I can imagine, you know, going back to the very beginning of time. And, but we are humans. And so because we are humans, we are prone to fail and everybody's going to fail. And when you're down, the best thing to do is get up, brush it off and find a way to overcome that. Don't be vindictive. Don't be filled with hate, because that will you will find yourself and your life being far less inspired by, you know, as to who you are and how you feel. And actually, you won't live a good life. You'll live far less time if you are filled with those kinds of emotions instead of thriving and inspiring others around you.
Well, General, I'd list you amongst the great leaders in history. You know, from when you look at all the great leaders, the things that you say, the mission over ego, and the stuff you said on the show there, humility, and these different pieces, I think these are huge character traits. You know, Trump was famous for the phrase he said, "They're not coming after me; they're coming after you. I just happen to be in the way." I'd consider you part of that first line of defense, that first group that got the hits. They got taken, you know, they were part of that, you know, that fulcrum time in history you were talking about earlier. And I'm so thankful that you came back fighting, that you're fighting still, fighting like a Flynn, that you've done this reawakened tour. The first time I actually got to see you in real life, I'd seen you obviously on TV. I'd seen, you know, seen you a lot there, but seeing you in real life was actually in Tampa at the first or second reawakened event. We did the first one in Tulsa, second one in Tampa. And it was like 180,000 degrees outside. You had a tan suit jacket on and you were in line, and the line wrapped around the tent, and there was thousands of people just waiting to see you. And you stood in line and shook every single one of those hands. You looked him in the eye and you thanked him and you said hi, and you know, you spent time with them, and the next person would come up, and every single person felt like they were special because you were there looking at them, and you treated them special because they were special, and you looked them in the eye and you gave them marching orders, you gave them a mission. There's the picture right there. There's thousands of people, and they all,
there it is.
I'm pretty sure you shook every single one of people's hands.
That was a great event. You know, we had about 10,000 people that showed up to that. I'll never forget that. You guys know this. That was like 105 degrees in that tent that day.
It was hot in Florida. It was muggy.
I felt, you know, and I appreciate you guys bringing up that, because I try to do that with everybody, because I want people to realize not just who I am, but I want them to realize who they are, that they are special people. Everybody in this country, everybody that is alive is special. I have in my military experiences, I have seen and known people who gave their lives for our country, and they had families that they left behind. And it's like, you know, as a leader of a unit, and guys in your unit or people that you work with and you're working close by, and they, you know, they go off on a mission and, you know, six go off and four come back, you know, or six come back. But two of them are dead, you know, on the back of a helicopter, and you're going to what we call a ramp ceremony or a memorial service in combat, or later on you go to a funeral at Arlington. I mean, you know, and that's one of the things I talk about in the movie. One of the things I talk about in the movie is this idea of being able to still tell my story. These young men, primarily young men, they can't tell their story. You know, we have to tell their story for them. And we have to remind Americans about the sacrifices of the struggle to be a free nation. And I want people. So that's why I stand there. That's why that particular time. I mean, I stood there, I think, 3 or 3.5 hours. And, you know, it was 10,000 people. I mean, you know, 105.
You shook every hand.
But it wasn't about me. Yeah, it was great. And I loved meeting every single one of them. Yeah. I want them to feel empowered. You know, I want them to be empowered, just like I want your audience that's listening. Each of us needs to be empowered, and we're empowered by not what you guys say, not what I say. We're empowered by how we are able to synthesize, absorb, take in information, and then say to ourselves, I can do this. I can do, you know, I can stand up. I have the courage to go and say that. I just heard somebody say something. Why aren't I doing that? Why don't I go attend a school board hearing? Or better yet, for the young men out there that have children, I mean, we have a breakdown in our family. Find it in yourself to fight through the easy desire of breaking up a family, right? Go to attend your kids' parent teacher conferences. I mean, you know, I tell people, and my wife and I have been together since we were 13 years old. We've been married for almost 43 years. It's like older than, you know, most people combined, right? I mean, 20 year olds that are watching this now, I've been married, you know, longer than both of them combined. So, but I tell people that if you're going to be in a long-term relationship, and this is another piece of advice, for anybody that's thinking or contemplating, you know, getting married or a long-term relationship, you have to like the one you love. Because if you don't like them, love is fleeting. And that doesn't mean that you stop loving each other, you know, in a healthy relationship, but you really do have to like each other. You really have to have to become seriously best friends. And that's what I mean when I say you have to like the one you love if you're going to last, if that relationship's going to last. Very, very powerful. And that's what I want to see in young men. I want young men to realize that, you know, we have focused so much attention in the last 40 or 50 years on women, and that's fine. That's good. I mean, Title IX, and, you know, and now you see what the transgender movement is doing to this country. They're trying to actually take away, you know, the rights of women to be young girls, young women, and, you know, and to be able to thrive in an environment where that's healthy for women. And what we've done is we've demasculated the men in this country to the point where,
you know,
if you're not this or that, then you're a bad person. You know, if you're in our demographic category where you're, you know, a white guy and you believe in Christianity and you are married and you got a healthy couple of kids and you have a healthy family environment, it's like, you know, they try to make you out to be some kind of, you know, crazy person, like nationalist,
right.
Label
they're going to throw. Yeah.
White Christian nationalist. Right. Like that. That's what we get.
And again, those are labels. Those are labels to try to denigrate and destroy something that is so pure. What is pure in this country is the purity between a healthy relationship between a man and a woman. And frankly, what we have is we have too many women that are having to raise children alone. And I know it's difficult. I know relationships are difficult, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm an expert on it. I just know that they're difficult. But what we need out of principally young men is we need them to understand that their future is probably, and I say this very strongly, that you know, a young man's future right now, because I have three young boys who are grandchildren and a granddaughter. But my, you know, your future is my highest priority. So as I'm talking to you guys and I'm, you know, talking to those in your audience that listen and hear, you know, your future is my priority. I mean, why do I have to, I should be retired again. You know, I should be out playing lousy golf or doing what I like to do, you know, just go hanging out. But I don't because I know my life is this country and I know, they want me to give up. They want me to shut up. They want me to go away and they continue to attack. I mean, this week, horrible, horrible articles about just total lies, right? But it doesn't matter to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always joke and say, well, I'm over the target. You know, I don't even know what that means anymore. What I do know is that my priorities are my family, my faith, and my country.
Amen.
And my country, in order for my country to last, my country needs to have strong leaders at every level, in every demographic, that believe in the sovereignty of the United States of America as an independent and free country based on a constitution and a, you know, our system of government is a republic form of government. So, I mean, I want our education system to teach that, but it doesn't. So you got to go and learn it. You guys can actually do shows on that. You know, because you're smart to have this platform, and I appreciate you know, this little bit of time.
Yeah, but we appreciate your time,
you guys.
We appreciate you joining
us.
Thank you so much for being on here. Again, guys, you know, this is an inspiring story. The Flynn story, the Flynn family is an inspiring family. You know, like he said, like courage is contagious. So don't just go yourself. Take friends with you. Take family with you. Take some other alpha dads with you. Go to this movie together. Go meet General Flynn. You know, go on this tour with him and shake his hand and meet him and say thank you for what he's done for this country. Thank you for being on that front line, both in his military career and then afterwards, that he's been on the front line over and over and over again. FlynnMovie.com/dad. And find where a city where it's coming near you. You know, maybe drive a couple hours, make sure you're getting there. But they put these all over the country. There's no reason you couldn't make
everywhere.
It to one of these stops. And
they're everywhere. I think we're touching 40 states in this 35 city tour. Yeah.
Well, we're excited to see it. I'm so excited to see this movie. I'm like licking my chops, excited to watch it and to get this narrative, this story into my heart and into my mind, and then to share these values with my son as well. So, General Flynn, thank you for your service to this country and for continuing with your service today.
Thank you, guys, and just keep doing what you're doing, both of you, Andrew, Colton. You guys are great, and you know, this is how we take this country back by raising our voices, standing up for what we believe in, speaking out against the lies and the deception that we are facing in this sort of cultural revolution that we are experiencing. And like you guys, because I do believe this about you guys, I feel very, very blessed to be alive at this time because it's like, I know I've served our military for, you know, nearly 3.5 decades, and I've served on some really difficult places. You know, I was on 6 continents of the 7 that we have, and seen some of the worst things in humanity.
Wow.
But I actually think that now being in our country, this is where I feel the most alive right now, because I feel like we can actually achieve this, but it is not going to come without sacrifice, perseverance, and a sense of determination that those of us that are men, that are young men, and guys like me that have feel a real deep responsibility to young men to encourage and enable to move this country forward to the way we want it to be. Right. I want your future to be as good as what I have been able to benefit from in my lifetime. So anyways, guys, God bless America. Go to flynnmovie.com. It's a terrific story, very raw and emotional, but well worth seeing.
Amen. Thank you, General. Really appreciate it.
8 years ago, we developed and launched the best bed sheets ever. Since then, you've all enjoyed the best sleep of your life. And to thank you all for your support, we're bringing you our bed sheets for the lowest price in MyPillow history. Get our seasonal flannel sheets for 50% off. They're nearly sold out, so get yours today before they're gone. Check out our new Percale line. Queen size only $39.98. King size only $49.98. And our famous Giza Dream bed sheets, queen size originally $139.96. Wait on it. Now only $59.98. King's just $10 more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get huge discounts on all MyPillow bed sheets. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free. We have very low quantities at these prices, so order now.
Now for our favorite time, the favorite part of the video, the reactions. Colton, I am so excited to watch these videos here. Are you excited?
I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped.
Love it. Okay. All right. Roll the first one.
So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
How about new?
That's crazy. That is absolutely insane. Colton, what do you think about that?
This idea of like a community raises the kids. I get, you know, it takes a tribe kind of stuff. Like that means like you create your own tribe, not the government's tribe. You know, it's not the government raising the kids. It's not the school. It's not institution. I've seen institutional raising of kids. I used to live in children's homes when I was in high school. And, you know, you see 45 kids to one set of parents, and it gets chaotic, and those kids do not get the attention they need. But it is definitely not a community raising kids. It is a community responsible for the kids, but it is definitely the parents' job to raise the kids. And I love Dr. Evil coming in. How about no? How about no?
Oh, man. But it's so sad because a lot of people, they do. They just, it's the default. That's what people do, is they just let the community raise it. Actually, some people might watch that video and go, oh, thank goodness someone else can do it. I'm so tired of this. This is great. But it can't be like that if we're going to raise up a generation that's going to be successful. And so we got to raise the kids, got to do it. We got to take our responsibility and do our best here. So let's go to number 2.
The game here is Johnson kicks toward the goal. And oh my God, Singh makes a fantastic save. But I believe he hit his nuts on the goalpost. He is down. Let us have a closer look at instant replay. not only just self-sacrifice on this play, but sacrificing future generations as well. Obviously going all out for his team, saving the ball right here, but also losing two on the play, putting his balls on the line. Let us have a moment of silence for this man's fallen brothers. As you see right here, he got to the ball and so did the goalpost. Not only taking one for the team, he took two. Talk about going balls out for a play. With that being said, I would like to take this time to recommend you all to see the Nutcracker movie coming out this winter. Wow, this game is absolutely nuts.
The amount of moving that the camera made when he impacted that pole caused pain inside of my body. Colton,
my what favorite, is this? My favorite part, not just sacrificing for the team, but sacrificing the generations.
Oh, man, that was too painful. Funny.
You know, sometimes you got to go all out, and that guy really went all out for his team. You got to appreciate going all out.
That's right. I appreciate it. Hats off to that guy.
Hats off to you, sir. Hats off to you.
Love it. All right, number three here.
And the doctor handed me my son. It's crazy as a father because I knew I would die for him, right? And I don't even know this dude. He could be a terrible human being, but I would die for him, you know? But when they handed me my daughter, oh, it was different. I was like, oh, okay. I would kill for you.
Bloomer, you got the one son so far, so I don't know if you've had the daughter yet, but and you guys don't know yet, right? You guys are pregnant with number two, and you don't know yet, right?
We do not know. We have no idea if it's a boy or a girl, and it's kind of nerve-wracking.
I'd say so. You're playing the eight ball. I like it. You know, got to wait and find out. But I'll tell you one thing. There is a difference. My daughter was born first, and I remember meeting her for the first time, and I'm like, yeah, that was it. You know, I looked in her eyes, and I was like, that's my daughter. I don't know what else to say. Like, I'm raising somebody, you know, I go on dates with her now every quarter. You know, she calls them hot dates. She goes, I'm going to go on a hot date with you, daddy. And so we go on a date every quarter and we get to hang out. But yeah, absolutely. There's, and I love my son tremendously. And I'll like, sometimes I get on to my son and I'm like, yeah, hey, you do not do that. And I'll turn around my daughter and I'm like, don't do that. Okay. You know, like I have a hard time keeping a straight face. I'm like, she's so cute. She's so amazing. She's my little girl.
I'm so interested to see. Cause like in my mind, I'm like, no, I'm going to do it the same. Like I'm going to treat them the same and everything. Yeah. But like, and then, but everyone keeps saying it's like, but when you have, you know, I'm like, okay. So I'm interested to see like
the side by side.
Yeah. I'm interested to see the side by side. And if I change my opinion or whatever. So I don't know. We'll see. Give it. We got a couple months and we'll find out.
Got a couple months. It's coming in May, right? Coming this May?
Coming in May.
The newest Bloomin' Onion.
That's right.
Man, well, we're excited about that. Yeah, definitely definitely a difference with the son versus the daughter, in my opinion. And I try not to. I try to keep it all the exact same. But my daughter is something I like. You kind of smile and I'm like, hey, you know, I kind of like, don't do that. Don't ever. You know, I have a hard time keeping that straight face. So she's hilarious. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us again on another week of Alpha Dad Show. I hope you guys enjoyed this. We did. I love getting to talk to General Flynn. He is America's general, and I'm so thankful that he was on the Alpha Dad Show. We'll see you guys next week.